Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, please, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for the good reports we have. Thank you, Lord, that you are exposing the truth. Thank you that you're exposing the darkness. Thank you that you are shining your light in the midst of our nation in this hour. And Father God, through this season of time, as difficult as it may be at times for us to watch our president go through what he goes through, to watch Melania go through what she goes through, and to even see them come after Barron like they have, Father God, I pray that you would give us grace and help us to rally around our president and to keep them covered in prayer as your word has told us to do. I thank you, Father God, that you are a God of promise, and we are seeing your promises revealed to us in this hour. We thank you for that. You are so faithful. I stand in awe every day at your faithfulness. Help us, Lord God, as intercessors, to see your faithfulness, to see how you were fulfilling your promises, to see how you were making a difference in our nation. Help us, Lord God, to press into you in the midst of this time in which we're in. And Father God, as we prepare to go to your word today, I pray that you would open up the scriptures to us. Let your spirit come and teach us, ignite us, stir within us a passion for your word, a passion for you, a passion for more and more and more of you. Stir within us a hunger and a thirst for you. Stir within us, Lord God, that which we need to drive us into the secret place of the Most High. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you. Thank you for your presence. Quiet things around us, Lord, so that we can hear what you have for us. In your precious and holy name, amen. Before we read this scripture, I want to share with you an experience I had this week. Our staff comes together 4 days a week and we pray. We pray for the president. We pray for the nation. We pray for the church. We pray for you. We pray for one another. It's just a time where we come together and pray. And on Tuesday, we were praying over the church. And I shared this with our Joel's Army prayer cell leaders on Tuesday night because it was such an impactful experience. And as the day went on, I felt more and more like I was supposed to share this with you too. So we were in prayer and we were praying for the church. We were praying that God would ignite the church, that the church would rise up, that the church would see through the darkness, and that the church would come out of the deception that it's in. And we're just really interceding over the condition of the church. And our prayer was that the church would see through the veil that the enemy has and is using through the media and such, and get off of mainstream media and really seek the Lord on for truth. And so we were praying, and I was closing out the prayer, and I the Lord began to pray through me, and I was making declarations over the church, and I began to pray that the veil would come down, the veil, the darkness. You know, and we use the term veil in a lot of different ways. A veil can cover our eyes. It can be deception. We want to go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. You know, we can use it in a variety of terms. And I know that can sometimes be confusing, but we were just really praying that this cloud of deception would come down. And I was sitting on my floor, actually, and I had a vision of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And for those that were at the gathering in D.C., you know how significant that is for me. One of our intercessors had been driving up and stopped at a gas station and saw this stuffed lion. And she felt like she was supposed to get it for me. And it was, and the Lord had told me, the lion is coming for you. And, you know, it was the first GOE really that we'd been at that mom wasn't there. And that was difficult. You know, she was sick and she wasn't able to come. And so it was a difficult thing for me. And I know it was for everyone, but everyone just pressed in. You guys are so amazing. So he told me that, and it just, I said, you know, and I often see the lion in our GOE. So it touched me, and it let me know we were going to fulfill what he had called us to DC to fulfill. But I was sitting there, and it was the night before we were supposed to start, and she had texted Karen and said, you know, I have something for Ricky. Can I bring it by? You know, and I was in bed, and I was thinking, you know, and I said, okay, you can, she can, you know, because, I mean, I'd already washed off all my makeup, you know, because we still have a little vanity left, right? And I said, okay, well, have her come. That's good. So the Lord said, the lion is coming for you. He said it again. And I opened the door, and here is this stuffed lion. And I just started crying. She probably thought, what is wrong with her? It's just a stuffed animal. But it meant something, because it was a tangible, marker for what God had promised me. And it, you know, the beauty of it being a stuffed lion is our GOE really ended up being so much about the children. And saving this generation. And I talked about this several weeks back when I gave an update about the GOE. And I didn't talk necessarily about the GOE, but about the release of the Samuel generation and what we fought for. And so it was just a beautiful thing how God used this stuffed lion. And we brought it to service every day because he was there with us. And so, that said, this Tuesday, I was sitting here and I had been praying, and I had a vision of the lion. And what's amazing about the Spirit of the Lord is, size, time, none of that stuff is, fixed in stone, right? It's very, fluid. And it's all relative. And so I was sitting here and I had a vision of the lion. And he was on my right side, and I could feel his breath on me. But at the same time, and he was fierce. He wasn't this stuffed lion. I just want to tell you that. He was fierce. At the same time, he was right here next to me on my right side. He was at the edge of California. And he was crouched, about ready to take off. And at the appointed time, he had crouched down. And he launched off. From the West Coast, from California, and he took off across the country. There was he had a ferocious look. he was in attack mode, but he was bringing with him the glory. He was coming against what was coming against the church. He was coming against what was coming against the president, and he was bringing with him the glory. All on his mane, there were intercessors. Intercessors who had stayed close to him. And when he went to go, when he crouched down, now any of you who have cats, you know how cats are, and they kind of get in that low crouched position. And it's so funny because when I'm doing this, I get down in a crouched position like you can see me, right? So I get in this low crouched position. And he gets ready to take off. And you know, cats will do that just before they pounce, just before they launch. So he gets in this low crouched position. The intercessors grab hold of him. And he takes off. And he's moving so quickly. His body is a blur. I can still see his head. And I see the intercessors. Now, at this point, he is so big. He's literally taken off across from California, across our country. The intercessors look like little tiny dolls, you know, like little Lego figures or something in his mane. And they had wrapped their hands around his mane. And those that had leaned into him. And I've been praying about this since Tuesday, and the Lord's given me greater insight in this. And that's why it's so important I share this with you tonight. Because those that had leaned into him, those that had spent the time locking themselves away with him, pressing into him, his mane wrapped around their waist. When he went to take off, they grabbed hold of his mane. Those that had kept themselves close to him, his mane wrapped around them. He was moving so quickly, we couldn't possibly hold on. We needed him to hold on to us. His mane was like liquid gold. So why is this so important? And why is it so important that I share with you this in December of 2019? Because after the GOE, I came on this and I said, a shaking is coming. And I told you what the Lord told me on the plane on the way back. A shaking is coming. And what we need to understand by that is, by staying close to our Lord, when the time to move comes, we're going to be right next to him, and we're going to be able to grab hold of him. He will be our stability. He will be our strengthening. The shaking isn't necessarily, it's not a frightening thing. This isn't about war coming to our land. It's not about that. The Lord's already given promises. Mom has shared those with us. It's not about war coming to our land. It's a shaking. Assisting. He wants to remove the things from our lives that are not of him. He wants to remove the things that are in our lives that keep us from being next to him. He wants to have intimacy with his children. Intimacy that is so tightly knit that when he crouches about to take off, all we have to do is lift up our hands and grab hold. And his hair will wrap around us and off we'll go together. There's an intimacy there. There's a strengthening that comes from him. A spirit-to-spirit strengthening that ignites us and equips us. And when we have things that are in our way, we cannot grab hold. Why? Because when he crouches, we're going to try to pick all that stuff up and take it with us. People say, well, I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I've spent a lot of time in the Word, and I've you know, I feel like I've gone through the shaking and, you know, I'm ready. And that's great. But the shaking that's coming, and why do I say this? Because when this shaking is over, when this difficult time is over, what we see happening in our government right now, what we see happening with this impeachment, that's a shaking. And what's happening in the midst of that is corruption is being exposed. They're exposing, I mean, people, they have 101 counts. 101 indictable offenses in a report that's about to be released. This that's going on is exposing corruption. Pedophilia is being exposed in these people. Their engagement with it is being exposed in these people. Their attacks on our president, they are so blind, so blinded by hatred and rage over the fact that he won when they did everything they could to keep him from winning. Have them on such a pursuit to take him down, they don't even realize the trap they're laying for him, they're about to step in it. That's what a shaking does. It exposes the corruption. The people that aren't prepared for it are blinded by it. It rids us of corruption. It stirs things up. And what settles and remains afterward is exactly what God wants us to have intact. It's a beautiful thing. It allows it to be done quickly and with mercy and with grace. He wants us to look forward to this with hope of the outcome. It's not something to be feared. So when I say the lion is here, and he's crouching down. Be ready, my friends, to grab hold. Be ready to grab hold. Let him shake you over these next few weeks. Ask him to do that, to pull you away and release out of you the things he doesn't want there. He'll do it, and he'll do it quickly. He's a merciful God, and then you'll be a stabilizing force to those around you. God has everything in his hands. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what the outcome will be, and he knows exactly what it's going to take to get us from point A to point B, and it will be resolved. Now, in order to be in a place where the lion crouches and you're there, able to grab hold of that mane, you've got to be in the nape of his neck. How close do you need to be the nape of his neck? John the Beloved, the Bible talks about him leaning on the chest of the Savior. That's how close he could hear the heartbeat of the Savior. That's how close he was. He is one of the closest ones to Jesus when he walked this earth. That's why he was given the deep revelation that he was given, that closed out our Bible. That's why the precious nuggets that he wrote in the Gospel of John, in John 1, 2, and 3. Beautiful passages of intimacy. He was referred to as the one whom Jesus loved. and he leaned on the chest of our Savior, and he heard his heartbeat. I think that many of us were raised in situations where we felt like there was a limit on what we could have with the Lord. That there was just always a limit. You know, there's boundaries. But I want to challenge you with something. I want you to consider, you can have as much of God as you want. You can have as much of God as you want. As much of him as you want. You can be as close to him as you want to be. But it comes with a price. The question is, are we willing to pay that price? Are we willing to pay the price? To be among those that rest in the nape of the Savior's neck. Matthew 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, when we began this year, I told you that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Actually, at the close of last year, I told you, the Lord told me that judgment was coming to the house of God. He was redefining the church, and the kingdom of heaven was at hand. We were to set down our quest for our church and start focusing on the kingdom of heaven. We were to set everything aside and focus on the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven is what truly is going to save us. It's truly what's going to deliver us. It's truly what's going to save this nation, what's going to save nations around the world. It's what's going to bring forth the glory of the Lord when he crouches down on the California coast and he launches himself across this country, bringing his glory behind him. That is kingdom of heaven. His presence, his holiness, intimacy with him. That's when we'll see the seven spirits of God be released. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came, and what did he do? He baptized in the River Jordan, and he said what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came. He was baptized in the river. He went up, spent his 40 days in his period of testing. He came back down and he said what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If the kingdom of heaven was at hand 2,000 years ago, where do you think we stand today? The lion is on the shoreline of California, ready to release the kingdom of heaven. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13. I actually did a message, the seeds of Matthew 13, but I think it's in our PCL training. I'll see if I can pull that and put it in our main folder. The seeds of Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. What did he do? He got rid of everything he had. He didn't just put it out on the street for city cleanup. He didn't put it in his truck and take it to the dump. He didn't give it away. He didn't give it to Salvation Army. He didn't give it to Cedarwood for our homeless outreach or our coats and clothes or our pantry. He went out. He sold all that he had. That took effort, conscious effort, to find a buyer, to sell it, and to save the money. Find the buyer, sell it, save the money. Find a buyer, sell it, and save the money. Until everything he owned, every single item he owned. His house, his tables, his chairs, every bit of clothing except what was on his back, and he sold it all. He took that money and he bought that precious pearl. And he did so with great joy. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he had and buyeth that field. With joy, he released it all, sold it all, and he bought that field because that's where the treasure was. He took everything he had and he put it into that field because that's where the treasure is. That's the kingdom of heaven. All that we have poured into the kingdom of heaven. All we have into seeking the kingdom of heaven. Finding, knock, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. Those are promises for seekers. For people that adamantly search, knock, find. That's what the kingdom of heaven is for us. If we go after it, he will give it to us. What is the kingdom of heaven? It is all that is in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus walked in the power and the authority of the kingdom of heaven. He didn't do a single thing without permission from the Father. Everything he did was done under the permission of the Father. He thanked the Father for everything. He fed the multitudes after thanking him for the loaves of bread and the fish. And he blessed the food and it was multiplied. He had authority over the elements. Why? Because he thanked the Father. He was God. Why was he thanking the Father? Because that's what you do. He never forgot what his purpose here was. He never once forgot it. Have we forgotten our purpose? Have we forgotten our purpose to be governed by the Lion of the tribe of Judah? To be a vessel from which the kingdom of heaven flows. To give up everything. To have a kingdom mindset. Have we forgotten our call? Have we forgotten that there's no limit to God, no limit to the closeness we can have with him. No limit to what he will do in and through you. Our only limit is ourselves. Man has brought the division between God and themselves. Man has done that. That wasn't God. He sent his son to reunite us with him. He sent his son to die a gruesome death on the cross to reunite us with him. To bring the kingdom of heaven to us and in us and have it operate through us. He sent his son to die to make that happen. So there is no limit. There is no limit on what God will do. The only limit lies within us. I know there are those that have faced challenges, day in and day out, challenges. They have felt the weight of the challenging. They feel like life is just a burden. Life is so full of challenges. How will they ever come up and out of them? And the Lord wants to restore your hope and your faith in Him. He wants to lift the burden of the challenges. When we go through struggles, even when we get the victory, sometimes the weight of the trial still remains. Have you ever felt that? The weight of the trial still remains. The memory of it stays in our body. It stays on our heart. It's almost stamped on us. That's not what He wants to do. He wants to lift that. He wants to give us a fresh start. You know, when Joshua brought the Israelites in, and the Lord let me experience something, and I sent it out last week, a link out, so I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it. It's the Stones of Scripture, Becoming the Stones of Scripture. But I want to share with you this experience, because the experience that I had was something that was such a powerful experience. And I want to share this with you and pray with you. And I want to ask the Lord to take you through this experience. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I'm asking you to step aside for a minute and listen to what I have to share with you. Step aside, if at all possible. Close your eyes and ask the Lord to release in you what I'm about to share. Please. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, and Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bear the Ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." So, this is what I want your focus to be on. When God delivered the Israelites from their burden, from their enslavement, to Egypt. They went through 10 plagues. They watched them go by. They watched as Pharaoh agreed to let them go and then recanted. Agreed to let them go and then recanted. They get outside Egypt and they come up to the Red Sea and they say, you brought us here to let us die? Wouldn't it have been better we died in Egypt? And the Lord parted the Red Sea and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Up, out, and God swallowed up the Egyptians in the Red Sea. They come up and out, and within a year, they are at the land of Canaan. Within a year. The ark had been constructed. They had the temple. They were ready to go. 5 were sent in. And they came back, and 8 of the 10 spies lied on God. They said, there's giants in this land, and we can never do it. There's giants in that land. The land was so plentiful, the food they brought back took 2 men to carry a bunch of grapes. It was enormous. Why? Because God was going to put them in a land of plenty. That's what he promised. But those men came back and they lied on God. When they came back and discouraged the Israelites, and the Israelites listened, said, all right. Now, let's not forget the many times that Moses had to intervene because the people moved into such sin. He was about to wipe them all out and start a whole new line through Moses. He says, all right. And Moses says, okay, but we can't have that God. That's a friend of God. We can't have that God. Because then all the earth will hear that you brought the people out of Egypt to kill them in the desert. He's not only a friend of God, he was a friend of the Israelites. God says, I am going to leave you in this desert until this generation has died. And I will allow the next generation to enter. Here they are. That's where we're at. We have the new generation. The next generation, the ones that did not lie on God, the ones that chose to believe him, trusted him. And for 40 years, as children, they grew up. Their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. They have been fed manna from heaven for 40 years. God has provided their every single need. They had air conditioning in the day. They had a giant heater at night. They were protected. They were guarded. He kept them in the desert just outside of Canaan. And the Lord told Joshua, it's time. And this time, we're taking the ark, the presence of God before us. Now they had followed the ark. They had followed the presence of God for 40 years in the desert. When those priests stepped into the water and stood in the middle of the Jordan, now this is after the snows had melted up in the mountain. This river was wide and it was deep. It was wide and it was deep. Don't let anybody tell you any different. This river could get 20 to 50 feet deep during this season. Sounds a lot like the Red Sea to me. So here they are. And the minute those priests, upon the command of Joshua, after the command of the Lord, he kept his ear pressed, listening to the command of the Lord. And on his command, those priests stepped into the water. And God blew back that water. And the wind came in and it dried the riverbed. I want you to think of the last riverbed that you walked along and how gross and slimy it was. The wind had to dry it. We're talking about over 1 million people crossing a river that just had some kind of dam built up the river. It would have taken days to dry that out, weeks to dry it out enough for 1 million footsteps and all of their animals to cross that Jordan. Those priests stepped in, stood at the middle, and locked their knees. And as I studied this, the Lord let me experience something, and I want you to let him give you this experience. Because it is an ignition for you. He wants you ready because the lion is at the shoreline of California and he's ready. As the Israelites began to walk across that dry land, the dry riverbed, it was a solemn experience. Over 1 million people had to walk across the Jordan. It took a while. It was a solemn experience. And Lord help me. As they passed by the ark, there was the presence of God. And all of the weight of their journey in the desert, the memory of what the generation before them did, the memory of their enslavement, the memory of how when they lied on God, they had to stay in that desert. The memory of the trials, the suffering, the memory, the ache in their heart to enter the promised land. They were about to see a promise that had been given to Father Abraham over 400 years prior. They were about to see it. They longed for 40 years. They shared with that generation why they were sitting outside the promised land instead of entering it. Don't ever lie on God. Don't ever doubt him. When he sends you to do something, you do it. Moses couldn't go with us because he sinned. Moses had to stay behind. The ache, it would have left in the people, all of it. They were carrying with them when they packed up, and he said, it's time to go. So when they passed by the ark with those priests holding fast to the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Promise of God, the ark that not only held the sin of the past, but it held the promise of the future. The ark of God. When they passed by this on dry land, the presence of God, the anointing of God, it flowed out from the ark. Like a, when you imagine the atomic bomb, and I'm sorry to use such a dramatic thing, but it was like that. I saw it, and it rippled through the air. Not the initial explosion, of course, but the ripples that took place, the after, the ripples. That's what took place as they passed the ark. It was a solemn moment, a time in which, as they passed the ark, knowing that God himself, the wind and the waves held back the water. The wind came and dried the ground. And they passed by that ark. This presence of God flowed out from the ark. And it literally passed through the Israelites. And it shifted something in them. It did a DNA almost shift in them, change in them. They needed it for the battles they were about to encounter, taking the promised land. They needed what God did as they crossed the Jordan. With the presence of God did. It went in and erased the pain of the past. It erased and deleted the grief of the past, the sorrow of the failure, the weight of the imprisonment and enslavement. He stripped that from their minds, their bodies, and their souls. He literally healed their souls, the layers of their souls, because all of that is passed through the generations, and they needed to become warriors. He took them from people of pain, of wandering, and of sitting in the desert to warriors by the time they crossed the Jordan. Warriors. They entered the Jordan as wanderers, but they exited the Jordan as warriors. That was the transformation of the presence of God emanating from the ark. That's what he wants to do for you. Let him take the pain of the past, the enslavement of your mind, the bitterness and anger of the unforgiveness, the suffering of the trial after trial after trial, the agony of watching your family members suffer. He wants to lift it from you. He wants to uproot it from you at the cellular level and create in you a warrior ready to take the land. Because he is on the shoreline of California. He's crouched and he is ready to fly. Those who have allowed him to literally baptize them in his presence, immersing the pain of the past, erasing the pain of the past, taking the weight of the suffering, the memory out of your muscles, the memory out of you, the memory out of your body. And equip you to grab hold of his mane, and he will not let you go. And he wants you to go with him as he soars across this country, bringing forth his glory. There is no limit to what you can have in God. There's no limit to what he'll give you. He wants relationship with you so desperately, he sent his son to die a wretched death in order to reunite with you, his creation. I talked about this in the Passover service. I did. That's what he wants with you. He wants to take it all and equip you to go to glory with him. There's no limit in what you can have in God. He has been trying to teach us to know no bounds when it comes to him, to equip and release the new breed of believers. He's been working to redefine the church that it might be a holy house of prayer. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he is on the shores of California, ready. Ready to launch. Let's go with him. Let's do it. Father God, give your people the grace to hand it all over. Give them the grace to pass through that Jordan and let your anointing come and change them at the cellular level. Change your people, oh God. Equip them to be the warrior you've created them to be. Equip them in this process, Lord. Give them the grace. Give them that experience I had. Do it, God. I felt it. I stood here. I sat here and I felt it in the room. I felt your presence flow through me at the cellular level. The pain of the past just disappeared. My heart's cry, oh God, is to see my brothers and sisters experience it and be ready. Be ready. Dear God, will you do this for them? Ignite their faith to receive it. Don't let the enemy take this from you. You grab hold of the mane of the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the only one worthy to open the seals. He's the only one worthy, worthy, worthy for you. Worthy for you. Worthy for your worship. Worthy for your closeness, worthy for your intimacy, worthy for you to take everything you have and sell it and buy that treasure, because the kingdom of heaven, my friends, awaits. It's him. Grant this. Your people, oh God, grant this to your people. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Penetrate the layers of our souls, oh God, with your presence. Rewire us Ignite us. Do all that needs to be done. That we might be equipped. When you launch. And your precious and most holy name. Amen.